Вы слушаете SBS Russian.
Вы слушаете подкаст SBS Russian, и это интервью будет на английском языке, что мы делаем только в крайних случаях, но моя собеседница не говорит по-русски, однако ее очень много связывает с Россией. Сокращенная версия материала на русском языке в виде статьи с фотографиями размещена на нашем сайте sbs.com.au/russian. Today I'll be talking to Larissa Kozlov, an Australian artist and RMIT lecturer. Larissa, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show. Could you tell us a bit about your family history, why and when did they leave Russia?
Okay, so my grandfather's name was Konstantin and he was born in 1909. And they escaped Russia in 1919 on the Trans-Siberian Railway. So my grandpa had six sisters and two brothers. And his father, whose name was Ivan, had worked on the Trans-Siberian Railway. And he left that to join the gold rush. And he found gold and became wealthy. And he started an orphanage in Chita for young girls. Yeah, when the revolution happened, they spared his life because they were sort of wealthy people, but said, you've got 24 hours to leave Chita immediately. So that because he'd run that orphanage and it was philanthropic, that's the thing that sort of saved their life, really. And, yeah, my grandpa told my dad a few things he remembers, like he saw the bodies of red and white soldiers in 1917 as a kid, and they migrated across overland to Harbin in China and then went to Japan, and my grandpa went to school in Japan and then migrated over into Melbourne. So, yeah, big journey.
Yeah, and you said your great-grandfather was the mayor of Chita, right?
Yeah, he was. I don't know the exact year, but yeah, he was the mayor. He became the mayor sort of after I think he became wealthy and stuff. So not sure for how long, but apparently he was the mayor, which is amazing.
Let's talk about your trip to Chita. I mean, it's not the most attractive tourist destination.
Yeah, so I applied for a prize called the Jane Skelly Art Award. I work as an artist, and they were asking artists to like dream up something they'd like to do with $15,000 prize money. And I wrote up this whole plan that I would love to go back to that town, sort of not really imagining I'd win the prize, but I did win the prize, much to my surprise. And so I'd sort of pitched an idea that I'd really love time and space as an artist to travel across Russia and to return to this town, the remote town of Chita, to do some deep thinking along the way and to create artwork. So I won the prize and then I had to make it happen. So there was a lot of organizing because it was sort of pre-Airbnb and things like that. So I did a lot of research working out, you know, which trains could I catch? Where would they stop? Where would I stay? And I spent 6 weeks traveling. I arrived in St. Petersburg and then I went to Moscow and I traveled all the way to Chita, stopping along the way, looking at various things that I was interested in and taking the Trans-Siberian all the way.
Did you travel alone?
I traveled alone. Yeah. So I had very careful planning. So my trains arrived, you know, in daytime. And if they were a little bit late, then the hotel was like very nearby or the homestay and things like that. So it took me 3 months to plan. It was a very long kind of process planning where I'd go. But actually, yeah, I had an absolutely amazing time and felt very safe. I didn't go out at night on my own or anything like that. So
what year was it?
2011.
Okay. And you said you stopped at different cities along the way. Do you remember which cities?
I remember I went to Kolomskoye, which is beautiful, and Ulan-Ude. And I went to the island on Lake Baikal I visited, which was incredible. There were probably four or five places I stopped along the way, which is, and I'd stay, you know, a couple of days or 4 or 5 days and do all the things that I wanted to do and then hop back on the train. So
was it summer?
It was summertime, yeah. And it's funny, I've been to Russia before in winter and I had a totally different experience because it was so cold. People were very inward, you know, and so it was really hard because I don't speak Russian to connect with anyone because everyone was so kind of wrapped up and just, you know, rushing from one place to another. And then I went in summer and it was such a different atmosphere. It was really, really warm and friendly and relaxed and I was really surprised how the weather seemed to affect the people, you know, the atmosphere and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
As an outsider, you know, I'm an outsider, but yeah, it had a totally different feeling. So, yeah.
Was it your personal journey or was it more like about creating art pieces?
It was a personal journey and, you know, interestingly, like I carried my father passed away in 2003 and he wrote a letter to us as family members and we found it a couple of days after he passed away. And I carried that letter across in all my travels across Russia until I got to Chitar and read it when I was there. I'd already read it, but I reread it. And so it was very much a personal journey, I think, because, you know, that leaving Chitar had it was a really quite a traumatic experience, I think. And, you know, there was a history of trauma within the family as well. So it was almost like reconciling that history a little bit and understanding a little bit more, like where it might have come from. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, I'm just fascinated with Russia and Russian history and the just how dynamic that history is and how it's sort of gone from one ideology to another. And incredible as an artist to go to Russia and look, you know, go to the Hermitage and see the churches and, like, you know, there's just incredible kind of artworks.
May I ask you what was in this letter? It was about Chitar?
No, it wasn't. It was just like a letter of kind of thanks to our family. So like a very personal letter to my brother and my mum and I. So my dad was a wonderful person. So it was just like a letter of very intimate letter.
But he never spoke Russian, yeah?
No, he didn't. My grandfather really just wanted to get on with being Australian, and I think it would have been quite hard to adapt. He moved to Sydney, and there were a lot of Sydney Russian migrants who drove the trams and buses and things, so I think he had a Russian club, so he had some company there. But when he moved to Melbourne, I think he would have been very isolated, and he grew up in Footscray, where I live now, and he would have been the only different person in the street, you know. So I think he just tried to fit in, really, and leave it all behind. Although he loved classical music, and whenever we went there, he would, as kids, he'd make us sit down and play very loud classical music to us. Make us listen to things. And actually, he told us that Rachmaninoff, the pianist, played at their house in Chitar once, so...
Yeah.
Sort of amazing story.
Do you remember your first impression of Chitar?
Well, as you know, it's not a tourist destination. In fact, my tourist guidebook says, don't worry going to Chitar, you know.
Really?
Yes, which I disagree with. Felt so much affection for that town because the fact it wasn't touristy was actually really nice. My first impression is a beautiful train station, you know, with a bridge going over the top. Yeah, just some very interesting buildings, and it had quite a relaxed feeling, actually, like kind of like a large country town. And I remember a really nice outdoor market, and the thing I loved in Chitar was the museum. It's got a fabulous museum about the revolution that I thought was fascinating. There's a lot of paintings of that revolution that I was really fascinated to look at. But it was really friendly. It was such a strange experience because I felt a connection with that location and that town, but I couldn't communicate to anyone, and I didn't meet anyone in Chitar who spoke English either. So it was sort of like I felt a little bit of me belonged there, but at the same time I was mute. You know, I couldn't communicate. It was just all a very internal experience, wandering around looking at things and walking the streets and going to the museum and just taking what life was in like there now, you know, having imagined it many, many years ago. It was really amazing to see the big monument, the monument in the square as well. And I filmed that monument for one of my artworks, you know, what it meant in the past and what it means now. And there's people, you know, playing on it or walking past, ignoring it. It's not relevant now. And I was just thinking about how time sort of outdoes things, you know, like you can have this ideology that's like very important and a solution and absolute, but time always takes over and undoes things, you know. So it was very interesting to find that monument and see there's weeds around it and time is in charge, you know.
Yes, this video of the monument caught my attention and that is why I called you. But you have other works inspired by your travels. I saw some pictures.
Yeah, so I had an exhibition when I got back from my travels, and I did a few projects along the way. One project that I did as I traveled was I noticed that there are lots of shoe shops in Russia, and Russian women seem to really love shoes. Like, there were just so many shoes and such interesting kind of extroverted designs. So I started, everywhere I stopped, I would buy a pair of shoes that I thought were really amazing or interesting. And then I'd find a location and leave them and put them in that location, take a photograph and then leave them. And then someone could come and find them and keep them. So I did that 16 times across Russia. And that project ended up being represented as one large image, which is I bought a pair of bright yellow boots and I put them in front of the big Lenin head statue in Ulan-Ude. And so that project of kind of buying shoes and photographing them in a spot and then leaving them there was represented in that one image. And that image, in a way, the yellow boots kind of create an optical illusion so that Lenin looks like a very small person in a way with little wearing yellow boots, but also it might be the place where the tourist stands now, or the yellow boots might represent someone who's quite a brave individual who, you know, doesn't look like everyone else. So that was sort of a way of me thinking through some of the ideologies that have happened in Russia. For example, the idea of private property being shared, or, you know, switching from sort of communism to capitalism and things like that. And it was a really nice way of exploring the aesthetics of Russia and, you know, matching the aesthetics with places and things like that. And then I did other things like film the monument in Chita that I mentioned. And there are a few other sort of sculptural elements as well. So, yeah, I was wanting to sort of reflect upon my travels, and I read a lot of philosophy while I was traveling by Boris Groys, and I was thinking a lot about ideologies and time and the sort of world that we find ourselves in now with consumer capitalism and those kinds of things. So that was exhibited at the Margaret Lawrence Gallery, and there was an essay written by Andy Thompson as well. So it was really lovely to put that experience into artworks.
Yeah, I see. In one interview, you mentioned Dr. Zhivago. Is your name Larissa from there?
It's not from there, but in a way, I think of our family history as went through a similar experience. Like, for example, my grandfather's brother died on the way escaping from Russia, and they had to kind of leave his body as they were going. And things like that. So it certainly was like a very epic emotional journey. And also, when my grandfather was in Japan, he experienced the earthquake in 1923, a very severe earthquake, because there were firestorms and a fire tornado apparently with that earthquake. He had to jump into the harbour to escape flames, he told my dad. So he had a lot of traumas, you know, going from sort of like relatively a privileged life in Chita to suddenly everything being uprooted, you know, as so many people experienced. My grandpa was not an easy person. He was quite troubled, really, and you can see the impact. So in a way, it was quite traveling, making that journey was also about sort of understanding that a little bit more and imagining where some of that complexity had come from as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Larissa. It was Larissa Kozlov, an Australian artist on SBS Russian.
Поставьте лайк, поделитесь, комментируйте. SBS Russian в Фейсбуке.